Well, we have an election coming up, and it's sure to unite everyone in peace and harmony and make everyone get along. Actually, these are usually super contentious and divisive, which is why it's most important, the most important thing that you can do that Jesus said for you to do. If you see your neighbor has the other guy sign up, or the other person sign up in his yard, make sure you judge him and consider yourself morally superior. That's the most important thing. We want to clothe ourselves in humility and in charity because we want to win people over to the truth. We want to win people over to the gospel. But I want to talk about two errors that we can make when it comes to politics and voting. One of them is to think that, guess what, the most important thing is you'll ever do, and the most important thing that ever happens, politics. Okay? And if I'm the only hope for our country and the world is our political leaders, doesn't that sound funny, like when you say it out loud? The hope for our country is a politician, right? So, okay, we thinking of this is the most important thing and this is the only thing, and I'm here to advance the kingdom of, insert political party here. I'm here to advance the kingdom of, insert political candidate here. That's not what we're doing. Hopefully that's not what we're doing, because that's actually not going to save anybody. Because what is the root problem? What is the root of all of our problems in society? Sin. It's sin. Just a question. Have you ever heard a candidate say, well, as you can see here, my policies are going to reduce sin by 40% in the Midwest and over in the... It's not real. That's not a thing. The solution is not going to be of this world. The problem is sin, and the solution is Jesus Christ. The solution is the blood of Christ. It's the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's our conversion to Him. It's His life in us. It's God's life in us. So we want to remember, what's the kingdom we're serving? It's the kingdom of God, okay? The second error is to say, well, politics is not the number one thing, therefore it doesn't matter at all. And I'm not even going to vote, because I'm way too religious and spiritual to vote. No one's good enough for me anyway. And that's ridiculous, okay? That's absolutely absurd. It's sinful, okay? I think often, I'm just going to say not every time because I'm not trying to judge anyone's motives, but that mentality is often very cowardly because I'm afraid to see the gospel and make the practical, real-world applications of the gospel because I know people won't like it. Some of them won't like it. There's always going to be some static, right? So what is the answer here? Well, the reality is, yeah, politics actually does matter. And you do have a civic responsibility. This is where I always remind you that a lot of men and women have died so that you would have the freedom to worship God. That freedom is preserved also by you, by each one of us, with how we vote. Okay? The Bible doesn't say a lot about political leaders, but when it does... Well, I'll get to that in a minute. It talks about praying for them, and it talks about religious freedom being really important. And we can't just say, well, you know, like, we live in a country that's really a great blessing that most of the time most of us cannot appreciate. I really think my immigrant siblings have a greater appreciation for America than I do. But I do, what I try to do is, okay, I go preaching on college campuses, right? Well, guess what? Guess one of the reasons is why I do that. A lot of people died so that I could do that. And you know what? I've never been arrested for preaching on a college campus. Not yet, anyway. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, I didn't even get arrested. I went to Ohio State, heart of darkness. Didn't even get arrested there. So I don't know. I think I'm fine. Why? Because we have leaders who respect the fact that our rights don't come from the government, they come from God, and government can recognize them or not, all right? That really matters. That matters a lot. So also, we have a duty to do justice and mercy. We have a duty to do justice. And if you aren't praying through, like, well, you know, if you think of it this way, indirectly, you are the sovereigns. Each one of us, we are the sovereigns of our country. We don't rule directly, but we vote for the people who do. And so we have this responsibility toward justice. And every Mass, I always like to remind you of this, we pray the Our Father. And what does it say? Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom, sorry, I'm skipping ahead, sorry. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there are many things that we do in this country and that we sanction in this country that will never enter heaven. They will never enter heaven. And we have a responsibility to say, I will not tolerate that kind of evil in my country. I will not vote for people who will tolerate that. I will vote for people who will protect the innocent, and especially, we'll get to what the bishops say about the most important issues, okay? Now, there's a document that puts all of these issues kind of into a context from our bishops, all right? Our bishops have put there's everything in there, okay? So you can read about everything, but not everything has the same moral weight, okay? We need to look at the two principles of Catholic social teaching, principle of solidarity, by which we're all like responsible for each other. This is where we look out for the poor and the immigrant and the unborn and the most vulnerable, okay? There's the principle of subsidiarity. This is the principle that says whatever unit of society is closest to the problem or the need is the one that should respond to the need first. If we forget subsidiarity, we are a mess. And here's the big problem. Here's where it really hits, the rubber hits the road. Remember Proposal 3? It took away, for not a lot of parents, but for some parents, it took away their parental rights completely, right? And I mean, it did horrible things with abortion as well, but it is basically saying, well, the state, the government, big government coming in all the way down in between a parent and their child who's a minor. That's not subsidiarity, okay? So subsidiarity means, well, we have a need or an issue here. Who responds first? Family. Family's first. Who's the next closest? Their church community. Their local community. Their local government. Their state government. Federal government. Yeah, there's a time for federal government to be involved. Absolutely. The problem is if you get rid of subsidiarity, this is what socialism does. It destroys all of the other parts of the fabric of society, all these subsidiary relationships and connections, so that only we're left with the government and the individual, and all those other relationships are gone. I could go on about, actually, some of you could go on even more than me about how the Russian communists hated the Russian grandmothers in the villages because of them, not everyone was dependent on the state. We don't want to see a world where the state tries to be God, okay? And that's really important in what the bishops are talking about. You can't take away parental rights. The Catechism teaches, and our Catholic faith teaches, that parents are the primary educators of their children, okay? We can't just sweep that aside. It talks also in the bishop's document talks about freedom of religion, which I mentioned, and then it talks about the number one issue, okay? And I'm going to quote from the document, okay? This is a current document this year. It's on the website, okay? Our 1998 statement, by the way, this is the U.S. bishops, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, who have put this document out, okay? So all the bishops of our country. Our 1998 statement, Living the Gospel of Life, declares abortion and euthanasia have become preeminent threats to human life and dignity because they directly attack life itself, the most fundamental good, and the condition for all others. Abortion, the deliberate killing of a human being before birth, is never morally acceptable and must always be opposed. Cloning and destruction of human embryos for research or even potential cures are always wrong. Laws that legitimize any of these practices are profoundly unjust and immoral. Our conference, as in all the bishops of the U.S., supports laws and policies that protect human life to the maximum degree possible, including constitutional protection for the unborn. Okay, and legislative efforts to end abortion-assisted suicide and euthanasia. This is the number one preeminent issue put forward by our bishops, but I think it's pretty easy to see why. It's not very hard to see. It is the leading cause of death in America. Abortion, just abortion, leading cause of death. To think of it, the leading cause of death in America is the government-sanctioned murder of babies in the womb. That will never enter heaven. Our job as disciples of Jesus is, well, I guess I should say as humans, we can either bring hell up out of the ground and into our world, and we've done that. We've all done that. But as a society, we've done that. Or we can bring heaven down to our world. What will enter heaven? What does God want? Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And I really want you to think of it like that. What are we really doing here? What are we sowing? Because we're going to reap what we... I mean, individually it's true, but also collectively, like as a people. It's true, you know? It's true. We see Israel get punished as a people. Ultimately, we are judged one-on-one. Jesus will judge each one of us, but in this temporal order, there's a reality there. And so, are you really protecting the most defenseless? Of course, both in the kind of thing that it is and also in the number, you know, just the incredible 60-some million abortions in our country. This is just in our country. And this is something that has been put forward to us as this is the preeminent issue, okay? I also want to talk about what Pope Francis said. He said, and I'm pretty sure it was in reference to I know it was in reference to America. I think it was in direct reference to our presidential election, but I think you could also copy and paste it onto every other election going on, like every other race going on right now. He said, we have to choose between the lesser of two evils. And I know what you're thinking. How could you call either of those people evil? No, he wasn't calling them evil. He wasn't calling them evil. But, and now, I just want to say, it's not that like Catholic teaching says you can't vote for a third party. It's not like written in stone somewhere. But I just want to say what the Pope said makes sense because politics is about the practical. Okay, it's about the real world consequences of if I vote for this person, what will be the actual result in reality of what their leadership is and what their policies are and what they do, okay? Now, a lot of the times, Christians and Catholics, we go to the polls and we think, I can't in good conscience vote for somebody who I don't think is a good person. Pope Francis is saying, hey, America, you're probably not going to vote for a very good person. And you know what? He's not wrong. We're talking about a secular office in a nation that is quickly departing from God. We gotta give our best shot. Who's gonna be the least bad person? I think this is a way as you realize that you're gonna be alive in 2030 and in 2040, and to think about, oh, would it be wonderful if we had like a really holy, godly, like Catholic, you know? Yeah, that'd be great. When was the last time that happened? You know what I mean? So we're looking at flawed people whose policies aren't perfect. Okay, we just have to understand, Pope Francis is kind of telling us, you're not voting for your child's catechist. You're not voting for your spiritual director. You're voting for something this isn't going to be perfect, all right? So what is going to be the thing that you can honestly, before the Lord, say, this is, in reality, this is going to be better for bringing heaven down to earth instead of bringing hell up from below. The most fundamental responsibility that a government has is to protect its most defenseless people. This is why abortion is number one. There are other good things governments can and should do, but we have to get the basics first. We need to pursue peace everywhere, but if we don't pursue it in the womb, I think every other effort is very hollow. It's very fake. So we have an incredible responsibility, not just in how we vote. I'm saying a lot of this too because of the way that you will have conversations with people. And I want you to remember what the Lord said, clothe yourselves in humility in your dealings with one another. Love your enemies. Maybe somebody doesn't just have the other party's sign in their yard, they have something much more than that. Or love them. Love them. How did Jesus win your heart? You know, I'm sure he spoke the truth, but it's also the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, to changing our minds. So have that in mind. Really have that in mind. If you're struggling with how to vote or with what I've said today, please remember our parish value, take it to Christ. I haven't talked about that in a while. Take what I am saying to prayer. Take what you're thinking about to prayer. Take it to Christ and say, Lord, I don't really know exactly how to do this, but I can tell you, I have had prayer clarify for me how to vote before. Jesus actually cares. If I ever wondered if whether he really cared, I knew as soon as I started to pray. Because I'll tell you, I had something happen when and it was like, I didn't know how to vote, and I almost wasn't going to, and in an instant, the Lord clarified it for me, and I realized so many of the things that I was thinking about was other people's opinions, or how will I justify this before others? And in that instant, when I went to pray, I realized, oh, on Judgment Day, you know what I'm not going to be wondering? Did so-and-so understand what I did? The only thing that will matter is that I will have done what Jesus said for me to do. Whatever you do for the least of these, whatever you do for these little ones, you did it for me. And I knew how to vote. I had total peace. I want you to, if you're not sure, if you're struggling with that, take it to Christ, bring it to prayer. And if you're struggling with how to relate to people who they're on the other side of the aisle, you know how to do that, take it to Christ. Ask him, Lord, what is my responsibility here? You know, it's his responsibility to change our minds. I can't make a single one of you believe anything in the Bible. I can try to make a joke about it, and that might be more effective. I can't make you believe it. Only the Holy Spirit can. Remember to take it to Christ. Lord, I don't know how to talk to this person, and I don't know how to listen or whatever it is, and would you please show me? And he will. The Lord will give us guidance. We need to remember that because so much of what we do, what we can get drawn into in this season is a lot of we want to appear righteous before others, or we want to win one over on somebody else, or we want to, take the pride out of it. Take the pride out of it. Bring it to the Lord, and he will give you guidance.